Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gentlemen, how are we doing? We good?
Very well, you?
Yes, I'm good.
How cold are you, Chris?
I'm bloody freezing. John looks snug in his Christmas pyjamas.
Looks well. Looks really well.
It's that time of the year, isn't it? I bought 6 pairs the other day. So all 6 of them have got them.
Are they jammies or is it a onesie?
No, the jammies, pajamas. There's only mine that actually fit me. And I said it fit me loosely because the top's probably a little bit short.
Yeah, it's not loosely, John.
No.
Have a look. Yeah. Can we see that? Or?
Oh, look at them.
I like them.
Yeah, are they snug?
They're all right. They're not too tight. They're all, just all right.
Have they got a quality dinner or?
No. I can't have them too warm. Last thing you want to be doing is sat up settee sweating cobs, isn't it?
Yeah, or in bed.
No, I'm not wearing them for bed. So when I get up to feather, mate, they'll be off. As you know only too well, Chris, the big man sleeps with nothing on. Don't you worry about that. They're more loungewear than pyjamas. Oh.
Nothing sadder than Mickey Mouse crumbled up on floor. John Sheridan part 2.
Yes.
It's better than the first. I'll say it now.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah. In my humble opinion, it certainly is.
First one was good. Yeah, after the first one, loads of people messages saying, have you spoke to anybody that's played for Swindon, Carlisle, Chesterfield about Chez in the last 5 years or something?
And I do believe your answer was yes, quite a few recently, weren't it?
The thing is as well, it could be any manager in the world. Not every player is going to like that manager.
Nah.
You're going to find one player that didn't like Sir Alex Ferguson.
And supporters as well. You're not going to get every supporter who likes your manager because eventually they have a bit of a bad shot and they get potted.
Well, yeah. And the tickets are available as well for anybody who hasn't got them for the 17th of December, the Christmas do.
Well, I might even wear this. I might even wear this Christmas, these jammers.
Do it.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, the tickets are available now for Manchester Academy 2 with David Wheater and Carl Palmer. Fancy dress we've said, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah. I haven't ordered mine yet, like.
No, I'm going to get something good.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of people saying, it might not be on, but I noticed they're not making their Christmas announcement till the 18th. Boris, so we're safe because we're 17.
It's definitely on.
And even if they do say anything, we'll just have drinks and nibbles and games like they have.
Yeah.
But tickets are on sale, so they're on the website. You can go on over and come on down. It'll be good.
What happened with the Who Knows Win?
I was better, but still way off it.
Do you know what? I wasn't too bad this week. I think I got five. Five was
That's probably the best. That's the best you've got in it.
Yeah, this season by a long shot. But no, two good winners. Did you see Ropes and Storky Boy?
Just under a grand each.
£62.50 to be precise.
Having a great time, haven't they? Some of the people who are getting the winners in.
Have you a new bundle under the Christmas tree?
They could buy some tickets for the live show with the winnings cover next weekend of it. Come and thank us, Kurt.
But yeah, if you've not already got involved, you get on over to the iTunes Store, Google Play, and get on the Who Knows. We've got 10 games again to predict. Pop your fiver in the pot. We split the winnings with the best predictors, don't we?
Yes.
Get some more big winners before Christmas. Should we get Chez out?
Yeah, let's get him out. Yeah,
let's do it. Get him out. See you on the 17th.
Ooh.
Did you know as soon as you went to Sheffield that that was your time?
I thought when
after the bad spell.
I thought when I went in there, they had good players. And I thought, I think they were bottom of the league at the time. We were about 6 points. And this is in October, I think it was.
Who else did he bring in? You remember?
The same day I signed, Roland Nielsen and Phil King signed. Roland Nielsen, what a player. He was a top player.
Swedish right back.
Oh, unbelievable player. He got in for about 300 grand. King, he signed. Myself, the three of us on the same day. I think Carl Palmer had just gone in. But they had Dalian Atkinson up front, Hirsty up front. Had some good players. And I mean, we went down, but the good thing about it, a lot of the players stayed and we come straight back up.
And could you have left? Could
have left, yeah. It was in my contract to leave, but I wasn't going to leave. I really enjoyed playing under him. And like I say, he's probably the best man manager I've played under, who made me feel like, you know, after
your Forest experience. Yeah,
I was just a totally different person. I felt in myself.
Remember your first meeting with Big Ron?
It's funny. His first meeting when I met him, he says I was going to sign you at Man United. Right. I said, fucking hell, cheers.
It's a bit late now, Ron.
The reserves, I think, he says. No, he did. He says I was watching you at Man United. So again, that little statement there thinks, don't they? Or yeah. Whether he was telling the truth, I don't know. But
was he just that type of manager that could make you feel 10 foot tall?
Oh, his man management skills were brilliant. Just knew how to. And again, he used to make us. He used to make myself, Thursday, Carlton, a couple of the other lads, Dalian. He used to make us stay in a hotel on a. All the other lads could go home, but he made us stay in the hotel in Hallam, in Sheffield.
Friday.
Yeah, on the Friday before the game. Just have a couple of beers with him, sit around the table, because he was staying there on his own, that's why.
So he needed company.
Yeah, and he'd let you have a couple of beers, chat. He's got stories left, right, centre. Knows the game inside out.
So do you think he liked his band of merry men? Like the ones that he could trust, kept them close. You're the core of the team.
Like a Warnock back in the day.
I think he had his more serious players because we had some good Shirty Pearson and Nigel Worthington, experienced good pros.
So you just good crack?
We were just like, again, just like, we were quite young, weren't we, myself, Carl Nursty. He knew we liked to beer. He knew we liked to laugh and all that. And I think he likes that, doesn't he? He likes things like that. I think I've been told and I've heard stories. He always liked a little bit of a laugh at Man United and a party or whatever. And he was just like that. I think he liked people like that. But obviously, his serious pros and what have you, he has a different understanding, a different way with him. But yeah, he just used to like, and you just felt, you know, to be running around the manager, you think, fucking hell, I don't want to sit with him. But I never felt like that. I'd like to sit with him.
Yeah.
You know, you could say things or. And he knew. He was new. He was just like, good crack, straight. Fuck, he never shut up moaning at you.
Would you ever cross him? Would you ever have a go back?
Yeah, I've had a fight with him, yeah.
Roll around?
Who what?
A fight?
Fight, yeah. I had a fight with him in Italy, yeah. yeah, we went pre-season Italy. That's the year we got relegated. The following year, we're going pre-season to Italy. Great trip. Brilliant.
Training and drinking or...?
Training, but he'd let you have a drink at the time. It was pre-season. It was hard. Again, he kept the same, more or less the same team. Brought Trevor Francis in, one or two others. And we went pre-season. And so we're in Italy anyway. We're there a week, working hard. He allows us out one night. Puts a curfew on at 12 o'clock, but we've gone out at 12. We had to be in at 12, so it weren't a bad day, was it?
Yeah, it was.
So, anyway, we've gone out back at the hotel for 12. Because we get back to the hotel, the curfew, you've got to be back for 12. Anyway, we're in the dock. We get in for 5 to 12, me and Carlton and Kingy. We're sat at our table with a bottle of wine. We're in the hotel, but we're sitting in the hotel. Bottle of wine or whatever we're drinking. So he walks in. He says, come on, I've told you. I says, come on, gaffer. Man, we've had a bevy, by the way. Come on, gaff. We weren't talking, like, probably straight. We've had a bevy. We're here, gaffer. It's 12 o'clock. We're in the hotel. He says, no, come on, I've told you, bed. And when he says that to me, slaps me on the back of the neck. And he had a habit of doing it. I remember Danny Wilson was going to rip his head off once. He'd slap you on the back of the neck with his big sausage fingers. No, gaffer, what are you doing? Come on, upstairs to bed. Anyway, we go up and we're staying in this hotel. It's an old mansion, honestly. The length of the corridors was fucking, it must have been 100 metres at least. And you're like, he's at one end and we're all the lads are at this end. Big old place. So we're all back for 12, and so we're up on our on the floor, and all the lads are at the bottom, the ones who had a smoke, were smoking. We're all having a fag, and a couple of them still having a drink. We're all in the hotel. Big crowd of us, 10, 12 of us. So we've gone and joined them, me, Carl and Kinga. So we're all having a bit of a laugh. Next thing, see this big figure, yeah, with a fucking towel wrapped around him, walking from 100 metres. He looked about that big. Eventually, he got fucking near as the size of him. Big donut round him. Had a big towel round him. Come on, you lot. And he's had a drink as well.
Right? Big donut.
He says, he comes right to the group and he goes, come on, I've told you, lot, bed. Anyway, he does it again to me, doesn't he? Slaps me on the back of the neck. Fuck it. But I'm not ready for it. I've gone... Park it. I've gone flying. I've head-butted the wall, right? I fell over. Sausage fingers. I fell over. I'm not ready for it. I'm expecting. And I fell over. I've head-butted the wall. So I get up, and I've just bought this brand-new Armani shirt. So I start unbooting it. I says, yeah, Kingy, fucking hold this. So I've said to Ron, you fucking donut, what are you doing? This is to the manager, can you imagine? So anyway, there's a scuffle, isn't there? He's got his towel around him. There's a scuffle, and I can hear the lads, go on, Chez, go on, Chez. So I'm thinking, if he gets a grip of me, he'll rip me head off.
So he's got a towel on.
Yeah.
And you've got your bare chest.
I've took my Armani shirt off. Hold that. All the lads are just in the background having a fag. So anyway, bit of a scuffle. So it breaks up. The lads, come on, bed. Anyway, so he splits us all up. He goes to your rooms. Right, get in your rooms. We'll sort this out in the morning. So he goes back to his room. We've all gone to, I'll never forget, the lad I was sharing with, Brian Mooney, Irish kid from Dublin. He was on trial, wasn't he? I bet he thought, fucking hell. He was rooming with me. Anyway, so we've gone in. We're training in the morning. So get up for training and think, fucking hell, what's going on there last night?
You got the fear straight away when you...
Message comes down. Chez, you've got to stay in your room. Everyone else has gone training. I had to stay in my room. And you know when you think, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
So I'm in my room, fucking there all day training. Apparently they've had a meeting at the training ground where they're training. All the lads, Ron's, I'm going to send that little shit home. Says he's out of order. So all the lads, a couple of lads have stuck up for me, Annie Courtney. You can't do that, you know, this, that and the other. And he's part of the team and, you know. Anyway, Ron says, right, apparently he says, and we'll fucking saw it when we get back. So I'm in the room. And you know when you just feel guilty. I've had to go down. He hadn't said a word to me. I've had to, he's getting down for tea. I'm sat in the corner of my own thinking, fucking hell, what's going on here? We've all eaten and all this. He shouts, I want to see you at 9 o'clock. Upstairs, I won't have a word with you. I'm thinking, oh, fuck me, he's getting rid of me, isn't he? So anyway, I go up, have a chat with him. And then in his room, he's sat, where Brownie is there, I mean, he's talking to me. Goes, you're out of order last night. I says, fucking, I'm out of order. I stood up for myself. I went, I'm fucking out of order. I says, you've slapped me on the back of my fucking neck twice. I says, look at your sausage. I've even said to him, look at your fucking sausage fingers, eh? And he goes, you're lucky, if I would have got a grip of you, he says, I would have ripped your head off. I says, well, we don't know, do we? So anyway, he starts talking, and this is where he is brilliant. He says, I've had a word with the lads anyway. I've had a word with the lads. He says, I wanted to fucking send you home. He says, we've had a meeting. I'm going to give you a chance. I says, well, thanks. I says, I apologise. I shouldn't, to the manager, as you do, you start a bit of creeping and all that. He says, we had a meeting, all the players, and they wanted to
keep you.
And then his next words, he says, but two of the cheeky bastards wanted to send you home. That's what he says to me. You know, like, make me just feel good. Like, he says, two of the cheeky bastards wanted to send you home.
Just leave you with that.
Yeah.
Land one on him, or can you remember?
No, I was just like, you know, like,
Bob
I was
just
like, I thought, fucking hell. If he gets hold of me, I've got to keep my distance. If he gets hold of me, no. The funniest part of that is the lads, go on, Chez, in the back. They're all having a fag.
Well, Ron not bothered some of the team were just at the end of the corridor in a fag? Were they not bothered about that?
No. We were all right. But, I mean, when I was in my room, though, after it all broke down, we all went to the room. I missed a bit out there. I'd come out of the room 10 minutes later when I'm in the room. And I'm like, Kingy tells the story, great Phil King. You could hear me coming down the cut, you know, like the corridor. And Kingy's like, everyone's looking through the crack of the door, you know, opening the door, like, and I'm going, where are you? Where are you? You know, looking for him.
So you went back for him?
Walking down the corridor, I wouldn't say I was looking for him. I was just trying to be. It was all drinking. It was, listen, probably get sacked today, wouldn't it? But that was his understanding. And I felt he was like a lot to blame as well. So, but that's, I did have a great relationship with him.
Was it sound after? You know, when he's got back?
Again, the season we had was unbelievable. We got promoted, we won the cup. Brilliant, brilliant atmosphere with him. And he was like, he never even brought it up. Well, he'd bring it up, jokingly.
Yeah.
Every now and then. I think when you're in around a few of the lads, they bring it up more. And When Shez was going to not fuck you out, you're on. And then he'd bite back and...
Did he ever slap you again?
No.
Put the sausages
I didn't
away.
Get close enough to him.
Was he still wearing his budgie smugglers then, by the way?
Probably was I.
Have you seen the video of him ordering 4 tequila sunrises?
No.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'll show you after.
Oh, he's. I thought he was a top bloke. He's brilliant. He's so knowledgeable of football. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What knowledge of football is like. I would have loved to. Unfortunately, I didn't play for him for a long time. He went to Villa, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That year we got promoted and won the cup. He went to Aston Villa, so I was gutted because...
Do you know if he would ever come in for you? Would he ever sign you again?
Nah, I think at that time I was settled. That probably would have stayed at Sheffield. We were a good team at Sheffield at the time, so I probably wouldn't have gone. But I would have, only for his sake, would have played. I mean, again, he went to Villa. They had some good players there as well, didn't they? So,
did you go on with Carlton?
Yeah, got on great with Carlton because I think we just had a kind of player he was and I was. I think we just had a bit of a relationship. And
do you think you were underrated?
I do. Yeah, definitely so. Yeah,
because I mean, obviously, people have said that. About the caps that he got, like the worst player to play for England and all that shit.
No, I've never. God, I've seen worse players in Carlton for England. No, I loved playing with him, to be fair.
Did he do all your running?
Yeah, he brought a part to me and I give him what... He could do what I couldn't do and I could do what he couldn't do. And I think it was just for the years we were together and played, we always done well with him, with each other.
Was he, well, self-proclaimed entertainment officer? Sort of nights out and stuff. And...
No, he's a funny, he's a drinker. And we had a brilliant, one of the best things about us, we had a brilliant dressing room, brilliant lads. When we went out, we all went out.
In Sheffield, were you in Sheffield or?
Mainly in Sheffield, yeah. There was a pub at the top of the road, we used to go in there Thursday. We'd have about 7 or 8 pints there on a Thursday. Yeah. And you'd have supporters in there and like, you know, we were talking and like, I mean, it never ever happened today, would it?
No.
And like... Understand, we were just having a laugh and crack together. Probably a wrong time to do it, but Thursday.
You mentioned Usty then, and I know you've said before, the best you've played with.
I didn't see many, but I mean, obviously, if you're going on the career they've had and achievements and trophies they've won, but me as a player, I think he had everything as a striker, everything. I always say, in my eyes, he was better than Shearer.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's a big thing to say, but as a player, left foot, right foot, quick...
I did all.
If he would have kept fit, kept himself fit and looked after himself, he was a top player, Thursday. Top player.
Well, there were a Manuel coming in from it.
Yeah,
point.
No, they bid $3.5 million. Yeah, at the time we were doing well. I mean, we were getting to cup finals and we were competing near the top of the table. I think they bid $3.5 million for him. I think that was after. I think Shearer probably. I think they were going for Shearer, but. No, Thursday, he always done well against Man United. Always give him a hard time. Scored a few goals. And I think they bid $3.5 million. I think Trevor Francis refused the deal. I think Kirsty was fuming over it, but I'm sure he sorted his little wages out at Chef Wednesday once they've come in for you. I think he's there. But no, Thursday was doing well. Just had a lot of injuries, Thursday. Again, but he didn't... He'll even tell you himself he didn't... Lifestyle he lived didn't help his...
So he was that good and he was still out on the lash all the time?
No, I think he liked to cig and he liked to drink. But he was a good... When he was fit, he was out there performing. He was... I think a lot of people were out drinking, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, a few of the lads were smoking in them days, in our team anyway, and I know a few other lads who in other teams were smoking. But I think when you say he was out on the lash all the time, I think a lot of players did go out. When you had a night out, you went out. And then when you had to play, you played, didn't you? And that's just the way it was.
I suppose there's always just a difference between the lads who can do it,
yeah,
can turn into training and drink and play,
and those that can't. And it's, I suppose, understanding yourself, whether you can do it or not.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, you've got to be able to. I mean, God, there's a few Mondays I've had off in my career, God. That's wrong. That's not the right attitude, but that's wrong. But when I was in training and when I played, I really do feel as though like I was 100%. I wanted to do everything the best I could. But, you know, there is things throughout players' careers in them that, you know, you do wrong and it's not right. Because you're looking at today, it wouldn't just go on today, that's why.
Played with lads who can get away with it the next day, but I've also played with lads who physically can't train. Like,
yeah,
Cootsie, Paul Coots, if he went out the night, but could not train. You just looked at him when you were out last night.
Yeah.
Stinking, just eyes, and he just couldn't run. He'd honestly be sick.
Yeah, and I think a few lads will tell you that on a Monday. I think a few lads will tell you on a Monday sometimes, yeah.
Were you ever phone in and say, I'm ill or, mate, I'm in traffic?
No, usually I try and take, you know, I wouldn't be driving because I'd be getting a lift, so usually I'd go in. There's a few times I've come in on a Monday, you know, Bombay potatoes, having a few Irish coffees and whatever. Stinking. The lads will tell you, the lads at Wednesday and that. But very rarely. When I come in, I trained and, like, I was one of them. I used to want to do everything right as well and win all the time. And, you know, if you're having your little games on a Monday, which a lot of time you did after a good result Saturday, still wanted to do them things right. But you've got good pros around you. And if when you're going in as well, there's probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them who've been out on the Sunday. So
strength in numbers.
I wasn't on my own, you know what I mean?
What about when you were a manager then and you got the old phone call? You're like, say I'm in your team.
Yeah.
And you know, I like a couple of pints. And you get the physio comes in, Parker's phoned up, he's got the shits. And you're like, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Are you thinking he's got the shits or?
Not on a, if it's happening on a, common, you know, if it's every Monday or whatever, you know, it depends. But if you scored the winner Saturday, you could have Monday, Tuesday.
Would you rather people be honest with you?
Pardon?
You know, if somebody said,
oh, all day long,
I had 15 pints yesterday.
Yeah. There was a time, manager when, who was it? Sean Gregan, who was my best player, one of the best players I've probably managed, if not the best for the level I was at. Top player. But I knew Greg was having a bevy, do you know what I mean? And sometimes I'd wish Greg would have just said, Gaffer, can I have Monday off? And I'd probably say yeah, because he was my best player every Saturday. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He was part of us when we should have got promoted that year when he was captain. So sometimes you just that's again me a bit old school in it. I think players I've played under a manager knew sometimes. I think Billy Bremner more. Probably the worst time I had was the best season I had when I was at Leeds. I was having a bit of a tricky time at home. I was playing out my skin for Leeds. I was playing unbelievable. Probably the best season I've ever had, but I weren't living right, you know, off the pitch. I was drinking too much. And I think Billy knew that, but because I was playing all right, I think Billy just let me get by with it.
Doesn't make sense, that really, does it?
It's mad, isn't it?
He just let me carry on, but I knew deep down I shouldn't be doing what I was doing, but because I was performing, I think he just let me get away with it.
It's when you're not, then, isn't it? That's when the problems start.
Of course, all day, yeah.
You know, when you're not performing and he knows you're still out all the time.
Yeah. So how was it going from Atkinson to Francis?
Different characters. I mean, I played with Trevor for a year, top player. God, he was, I think, I'm not sure how old he was, but top professional. He's been a top player over the years, been around, hasn't he? So just totally, character-wise, totally opposite to me. Trevor was very quiet and reserved, and Ron would like an argument with you and a bit of confrontation. I don't think Trevor was like that. But I'd like, if I was going to say, or a manager, I'd like a manager to be a little bit stronger.
Firmer. Yeah.
With all players, not just, you know what I mean. I mean, Firmin as a manager. But I'm talking then, he got us to 2 cup finals. He had a bit of money to spend. He had a good, like I say, he had a good group of players what Ron had left him. And he had 1 or 2 players. But personality-wise, I found him very quiet, Trevor. Someone who tried to avoid confrontation if he could do that. I don't think he weren't a shouter and a baller. And that's just the way he worked. He had enough of them in the team anyway, so he didn't really have to do it. It's a shame because we got to the cup finals. We should have won probably more than what we did with the team and the squad we had.
Was it League Cup final? What's the highlight for you personally?
Oh, yeah, under Ron, yeah. League Cup final, yeah. Obviously scoring, but it was just about the the team in the
Rumbelows then, were it?
Rumbelows, yeah. Fucking called everything, yeah. I don't know who present. Kingy takes the piss out of who presented. I think it was just a bird who was shopping in there one day. She fucking won a prize and she presented the trophy to us. Kingy says, I was expecting to meet the Queen or someone, Princess Di, at the, or whenever at the time. And we get a bird who was shopping in fucking Rumbelows.
Got a new watch.
How were Ron's prep for cup final?
Yeah, good. A lot of it was well, we were playing Man United, so again, he never coached really. And
early night, night before.
No, he let us have a few drinks, relax again. That's it. That's just him. Let you took the girls out, your wives, your girlfriends, had a little bit of a drink and something to eat together. Just relaxed. Stan Boardman, he got on the bus the day before. That was a good move from him.
Did work?
Definitely work, yeah. Comedian, well, we were just sat there pre-match about 8:30 in the morning. We're just sat there and we're all eating, not having a clue the day of the game, and this fucking scruffy fella walked in with a shell suit on, fucking Stan Boardman. We all realised, oh, it's Stan Boardman, but he had a shell suit on, you know, like typical. But he was absolutely brilliant. He just took over, didn't he? From the morning on the bus to the game. Just took over telling jokes and everyone...
Stood at the front of the bus?
Stood at the front of the bus.
Did he have any connection with Wednesday at all? Like, obviously, Scouser...
No, I think he wanted us to win anyway because he was obviously a Liverpool fan obviously playing Man United. But no, he just made a runs, innit? Just come in, started taking the piss out of everyone and it was brilliant. Just distracted you from everything else.
Carlton weren't playing that game, were he?
Carlton, oh, no, Carlton will have been drinking. He was steaming. He was drinking the morning of the game. I know he was steaming, Carlton, all weekend. But he was a massive part of the team because he got sent off, obviously missing the final. We were all gutted for him, so it's a shame he missed the game, but the result was happened. And
I think I remember reading something about Ron saying to Carlton that, I need you before this cup final. There's no use your head being down. You need to keep spirits up as well.
No, it sounds like he did keep the spirits up. Yeah. Fucking drank most of them.
No, he was bubbly. I mean, he obviously must have been gutted not playing in the game, but he was absolutely brilliant. He was there as if he was playing in the game. He's genie lads up. Like I say, pissed out of his head. And then he carried on drinking the night. I mean, we had a brilliant after the game. It was like unbelievable night. Again, Ron, this is him, arranged a party. Obviously, it's always better if you win, innit? But the party was magnificent. Afterwards. You know, your friends, family, your girlfriends.
Sheridan's out in form.
Yeah, we were all there with... Oh, my mum and dad, they were in the... They were all the rough lot, weren't they?
Brothers down?
Yeah, they all come to the game. Well, all my mates, all Man United fans, my mates, aren't they? And all my brothers, but my family were there. I didn't get them posh seats or anything. They wanted to be with the Wednesday
with the rabbles.
Yeah. Remember, my mum stood on the... I was walking around celebrating my mum at the top of the fence after the game.
What, your mum's on top of the fence?
Yeah, celebrating, yeah. With her Wrangler jeans on and a cig in her hand. And it's a good memory, that, to be fair.
Yeah. That was brilliant, that.
Who was it that had the brandy in the dressing room? Was that Big Ron?
Yeah.
Every game, yeah.
Just right next to the door. Glad you didn't play, John.
What, for the lads?
Yeah, just have a brandy if you want brandy before you go out.
What was the thought process behind that?
I haven't a clue.
Warm you up or what? Or?
I don't know. I don't know. Wouldn't know. I'm not a lover of brandy, anyway.
So what happened when it come to leaving Wednesday after so long, so many years?
Yeah, so, well, I was getting a lot of knee injuries, problems with my knee at the time, and I was out for 3 months. Then I'd come back. I was never right with my knee. And then after Trevor, David Pleat coming. So when he come into Wednesday, I thought, yeah, good point. Again, someone who talks, knowledgeable, very knowledgeable. Had a good career management, but it was a disaster for me when he come in. Probably one manager. And like I say, when I've obviously gone into management and even talking about players, it's something you've experienced. You're not always doing the right thing, so sometimes be careful. But I thought, once he come in, I thought he got rid of too many players at the wrong, too early in his tenure. Come straight and he got rid of myself, Brighty, Ersty. I think Carlton had just left.
What were the reason for that, you think?
He's someone who was like
a bit
of a yes man. You know what I mean? He wanted players to just nod their heads, and this is my personal opinion, just agree with him all the time. And if you had a bit of a, if you stood up for yourself in any way,
like
I just didn't, he didn't, I don't think he could deal with that or appreciated it in any way. And I just think he liked, again, and he just signed players who were just, in my eyes anyway, were just, not yes men, they're still good players, but just wouldn't come back at him in any way if they had something to think about or to say. That I think it was just, again,
he got rid of the sort of the stronger characters.
Stronger characters.
Make it easier for him.
Make life easier for him. Yeah, he didn't like any confrontation. Again, he was another one. He didn't like that, which is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. And he had his own way about going things. And it was disappointed in the way I left. I come back. He put me in the team. He wasn't picking me. And then he put me back in the team. We were fighting relegation. And again, this is summer. We've probably 6-7 games to go in the season. He's put me back in the team. Anyway, we've won 4 on the spin. Puts me back in the team. We win 4 on the spin. Playing Man City away. Big game for me, Manchester City. Sat at the end of the table. Hadn't said anything to me. And he just named the team and he says, I'm going to make a change today. I'm going to put so-and-so, man marking King Cladsey when he played for him. And I'm going to leave you out, Sheridan. I was fucking fuming. I just wanted to... Only Chris was sat next to me, Waddler. I was fucking fuming. I was just going to jump up and rip in. It was like match pre-talk, so I didn't do it. I thought, I've just played 4 games there. You've won 4 out of 4 because we're safe now.
Mm.
Yeah, 3 games to go. And I was fucking fuming. And only Chris was there and he just got a grip of me. He says, don't do well. So I went in to see him. I said, what's going on? So anyway, my contract was, I still had a contract. I was still under contract. The following season, it was to and throwing and pissing about. And I weren't happy with it. I didn't like him. Didn't dislike him as a fella, but I just didn't like the way he was. Bit sly. I like a manager to tell me things to my face. So then, and that's when I weren't really figuring the team, playing in reserves, and Bolton come in for me that year. I went on loan to Bolton. Bolton were doing really well in the championship.
Enjoy it.
I loved it at Bolton. Brilliant. Again, dressing room was one of the best dressing rooms I've been in. They had some characters in
there.
Who
you got there? Joe Taggart.
Fairclough, Taggart, Sellers, McGinley. Alan Thompson was flying at the time. No, brilliant, honestly brilliant. And they were flying, they were top of the league, and I went in there for a month and he called me back after my month, and I wanted to stay. And I think they put a bid of 200 grand or something. I was 30, I'd had 35 at the time. 200 grand, and David Pleat wanted 300. He says, I can't let you go for 200. So I was just walking with him into training one day, and I've just said quietly to him, I says, you better fucking let me go to Bolton, because if I don't, I says, it's going to be a fucking nightmare every day training here. And to be fair to him, he just went, oh, John, you better go home and sit next to your phone then. I mean, it was no money or anything. It was just, so I ended up going Bolton then. And I loved it, yeah.
See, you got to make your moves happen, lads.
Yeah, we're a big money move. But I just thought out of respect after I'd been for so long, you know, at Chef Wednesday, and I didn't fit. I didn't have a chance to say tonight to the supporters or anything.
That hurt a bit, that. You know, after being there for so long.
And... Yeah, definitely, yeah. I just thought with Bolton, I really liked it. They offered me a deal. And I thought it was a good place to be, Bolton. Because they were actually moving into the new stadium if they got promoted, which they were, because they were flying top of the league. I think they got 100 points or something, 100 goals that year. And I just liked all the players they had there, and I thought it was a good fit for me. So, but again, I was in and out of the team. I mean, they had a good settled team. I was going there as more of a squad, really, with me experience. I think they used me experience more than anything else.
And were you happy with that? Because obviously you say your knees half knackered.
Yeah, and I knew my time had gone at Wednesday. I weren't enjoying it anyway, playing there anymore. All the lads who I played with and... I'd left, so I went to. I didn't play a lot at Bolton, but again with my knee, I was out probably for 6 months, and then they got promoted to the Premiership. I probably played 15 games in the Premiership, last 15 games or something like that, where we just missed out again on last game of the season. We had some characters in that dressing room. I never forget Christmas. Scott Green has come in. Do you know Scott Green?
They have a couple of teeth missing up front.
Anyway, a couple of things here. Anyway, I've signed for him on the day. We've gone out on our Christmas do, and I've got my medical the next day. So I've gone out on a Christmas do. Can you imagine? We're out all day and night. I'll never forget him, Greeny. We've gone in this place anyway. It's not a nice story, but it's a funny story. So we're walking to probably Yatesy somewhere in Bolton, and we're walking down. Anyway, Greeny's had a few drinks. So anyway, he's threw up, hasn't he? He threw up on the side. We thought, God, Brian, what are you doing? Anyway, we get to 100 yards, 200 yards where the pub is. We're in the pub. Anyway, Greeny, next thing, smiles at you. He says, false teeth have only fell out in where he's been sick. So he's had to run back his teeth. He didn't even realise.
So he's rooting through the sick for his
fruit.
He's had to go back and get him out of sick. Not a nice story, innit? Him and John McGinley used to be at each other non-stop. He's bought a brand new pair of Nike Air trainers. I don't know how much they cost or whatever in that day. And in the old dressing room, we used to sit and we all like, John used to do, we'd have cakes and do things with the cakes and things, you know, like, ugh.
Putting the cocks in them and that.
Oh, well, you said that. I didn't say that. But, you know, like, just, you know, little things in like, we're all messing about John McGinley and all that. And it's so funny characters. So he's come in, Greeny, with his brand new pair of Nike Air Max, whatever they are, much ever they cost, I don't know. But in the old changing room, Matt, bolting, it was a wooden floor and everything. So we've come in anyway. Greeny's gone out training. He's only got his trainers where he sits, and nailed him to the floor. So we've all come in training after the game. We're all waiting for fucking Greeny just to pick his trainers up. The old dressing room was waiting anyway. He's getting showered. He goes to pick his fucking trainers up. They won't move, would they? Fucking John's nailed him to the floor.
Fuming.
Oh, fucking comical.
No. Fuming.
Oh, you went off his head, eh?
Did he net with him as well?
He had an idea it was John, but, you know, he didn't know. He didn't know and he didn't, if you know what I mean.
When you're saying your knees, obviously, were struggling with them, were you thinking, I might be coming to end here?
Yeah, I packed in. Yeah, after Bolton, I went for a short little spell with Ian Snodden, got the Doncaster job. He asked me, would I come and play? It's funny, we played it. The first game of the season, we played Doncaster. We played Hayes. Doncaster were conference then. We played Hayes. Snod was trying to get a team together and obviously a few names and that. Anyway, we played. There was me playing, Neville Southall, Steve Nicol, Snod. Tommy was playing. It was like, God, did, and we got battered 3-0. We kicked off and we were like, Brazil, honestly, Snoddled, if you ever see Ian Snodding, kicked off, we're like, Brazil, fucking. Anyway, 3-0, we got absolute battered. And we all look fucking, I don't think this fucking conference we can have playing here. So I went there and played for a bit. And then I packed in and Andy Ritchie was manager of Oldham. I had a really good relationship with Andy. I played with him at Top lad. Looked after me when I was a young lad at Leeds, Andy. He asked me, did I want to come and play for Oldham? So I went there. And
what league were they in?
League One.
So you retired, and then how long were you at Oldham?
I ended up playing 150 games.
150? 6 years? After retiring?
I weren't training with my knee. I was just playing. And I went there. I loved it at Oldham. They had some really good young players in the team.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I had a good, and he stayed in the League One for, he'd done a good job, Andy. Signed a good few players. We were top of the league, signed our kid, Stu Bauer, one or two other players. We were fighting for the playoffs at one stage.
So you retired, round, didn't it?
You retired and you've done 150 games.
Yeah, I didn't play, I only trained. I could get through, I probably done the pre-season, but every time I played, my knee would like flare up, but I wouldn't train. Andy was good like that. I was playing all right. I was doing well. I went. But we had some good, energetic, we had a very good, young,
right
energetic
team around you.
Yeah. Really good young, some good young players. I'd get my knee washed out twice a year. And then eventually Andy got the sack, which very unfairly got the sack. I took over just for a couple of games. And then Ian come in. Who come in? Fucking Brian Talbot. Fuck me. Fucking hell.
You look like you just had a flashback.
Brian Talbot, fucking hell.
Well, Brian,
he was a good player as well. You know, when he grew up watching Ipswich and Arsenal, And then I got him a manager. Fucking weird fella he was. Weird fella.
In what way, like?
It's fucking weird.
Would he let you carry on with your not really training and playing, or did he want you
to? No, I went to more coaching side then. You know something? I'm not sure if he come in before Ian Dowie or after Ian Dowie. I'm trying to think now. Yeah, he come after Ian Dowie. Because I was on the coaching side when Brian Talbot come in. I was playing with Ian Dowie. I mean, Ian Dowie come in and I played again with my knee. And Ian, he was into his fitness, Ian.
Yeah.
Which, good coach as well. Brilliant coach.
So you were able to sit down like before? Because you'd have been like, what, 39?
38, 39, yeah.
To sit down with him and say, listen, I'm just turning out for games and I'm with not Ian. Training, yeah.
Yeah, he was understanding Ian that way. And he knew, but I played a few games. But he done well because they got in the playoffs the year he was in, but they were fit as anything. You know, swimming at 7 in the morning and fucking... Oof, dear. Swimming after games as well.
What?
Went swimming after games. I mean, it was brilliant for a season. He had John Arbin, who's worked for me, John, fitness coach, Australian, hard as nails. They had him with him. And it was really successful, you know, for a year. They were very unlucky not to go up.
Where are you swimming? Like... Leisure Centre?
Ship Canal, down the Ship Canal. Manchester Ship Canal. No, he booked straight after the game, they'd go swimming.
See, I'm furious with that.
You kit it locker.
I think it can work
bring
for it, so
bring
far.
Your towel.
But for that season, it was brilliant. They were swimming at seven, going swimming at 7 in the morning and things. Oh, my. Oh. And he was fucking fit as anything.
What if what if you've got a traveller who's like got an hour and a half? Is he setting off at 5 to go get to swimming. Training for swimming?
Can you imagine you packing all your gear for a match? Like your bits of kit, your boot bag, trunks.
That's the
speedos.
Way Ian was, though. Ian done that and he was successful. They were unlucky not to go up. And I understood that, so... And Ian was good because he used me in different ways. I started doing a bit with the youth team, you know, managing the youth team and coaching the youth team, which I appreciate what Ian was trying to do, put me on that side of it. But still, I was like that. I still thought, fucking, I should be playing. But I enjoyed the coaching and learning to coach and youth, and I loved that little bit. And that's when Ian got me that side. Ian left, I took over, and they brought Brian Talbot in. I took home part-time, brought Brian Talbot in. I was assistant. There's no way I could work with him. Fucking no chance.
How long did he last?
Not very long. Strange character.
Is that when he left, was that when you stepped
That's
in?
That's when I got the job, yeah.
Yeah. How did you find it?
I don't know, because I always got on with the players, you know what I mean? It's easy when you're not managing and, you know, like you're an assistant and a coach. You can still laugh and joke with them, can't you? I've always liked a bit of a laugh and a joke and that, getting on with players, take the piss out of each other. I've always liked that side of it, but then, and I think they've respected me anyway because I played, I think sometimes that's what they do, don't they? They respect you a bit.
We speak about Pearce going from player to manager, just losing all respect, not getting control of the changing room.
Who's that?
Stuart Pearce. You know, we've heard stories out of Man City, the lads, lads we've had on here.
Yeah.
Did you make a conscious decision to change and put a marker down to say, right now, I'm a manager now?
No, because I think they still called me Shez as well. Some of them. They said to me, what do you want me to call you? I said, call me Shez if you want to call me Shez, which is probably wrong. I think when you manage, anyone else has told me, so no, you're the manager, you're the boss. Or no, I think it just happened so quickly, Brownie. I just thought, just be you, just be yourself. And we had some good players again. We had good players. We had a half decent dressing room. So I just stepped into it, but then you make decisions. You have to make decisions. You've played, haven't you? So. If he's not playing, he's going to be unhappy. He's going to have to come in and tell me. And I'm always someone who invites, or as a manager, I invite him. If you're not playing, come in and see me. I'll try and tell you the best way I can. You might not agree with it, but I'm not someone... I've never... And it's one of my pet hates. I'm not a... I don't even like my coaches who work for me. I would never like... If you were shit, Parky, on Saturday, I'm going to tell you you're shit. I'm not going to walk in and tell Brownie, my coach, did you see Parky on Saturday? It's terrible, wasn't he? You know, in our office, I'd rather tell you so you know... And that's just the way I am. And so, no, I just find some coaches a bit sly and it's not, it's just not my cup of tea.
I still can't believe you finish a game and then you've got to get a shower and then you've got to nip to the local fucking swimming baths.
So you're right, isn't
it? When I'd doing the youth team, I'd manage the youth team and then I'd go and play for the first team. So, you know, I was pleased that I was getting both sides of the bit, but no, and then I just, luckily, I stepped into the management, and like I say, the players, we had some good players.
How long into your management career would you say that you talked about different coaches. How long in did you feel like you could put a team together that you trusted, like, and
you had a core team.
Because he must have to learn how to put a team together as well.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not just thinking, all right, I'll buy him, I'll get him, and the good players, that'll be a good team. Well, you must have to half learn.
Well, when I got my first job as Ronnie got sacked and then I took over, he'd signed Richie Wellings, he had Chris Porter, and one or two other young players, Neil Eardley come in, just got in the team, Chris Taylor just got in the team. I signed one or two players.
Were you flexible with your formations?
Andy Little.
You know, when you first started?
No, in them days, 4-4-2 I'd play.
And was that right the way through? Would you still do that if you got a job tomorrow?
If I had the personnel, yeah. If I had the personnel. But 4-4-2, yeah.
4-4-2.
4-4-2.
it worked for enough years, like, didn't it? You know what I mean? I know.
Have you had any many players wanting to force a move? Kicking balls, saying, I want to go.
Do you know, like when you said to Trevor, look, you better fucking sell me, because...
They don't really move for it. If they don't want to play for you, it was never money really for us though, was it? I remember Richie wanted to move after Richie Wellings. I wanted to keep him, but he wanted to move. But we're having the case of having an argument. He's going to get more money, isn't he?
So do you appreciate that as a manager then? Obviously playing, you can understand that they're going to half down tools because they've got a chance of doubling, trebling the money.
Of course, all day long. I always say to a player, try and achieve and be greedy, but in the right way, innit? You've all got families and what have you, and sometimes money does speak, doesn't it?
Must be frustrating as a manager, though, sure, if you've got one of your best players.
Well, Richie, I wanted to keep him badly, and I just couldn't, I think Doncaster were offering, listen, not fortunes, but I think Richie wanted to stay, but we just couldn't give him what he wanted. Mm. You know, and there's other players who've been like that. Craig Davis is another, I was desperate to keep him, but he was getting miles more money, so... No, it's happened. That's happened a few times, but that means they're doing well, isn't it? It's just you're up and down. It's a yo-yo, isn't it? If you can just get to a level par and listen, you sign players who don't do well. You've already got players who do well, and it just goes around in a big circle. You win games, you lose games. It's just you're up and down. It's your players. All it is, your players. It's so much about you. I mean, I look at players just players, managers better than me. Chris Hughton, who I see just going up, like I said earlier, for you know, they just go in, don't they? For some reason, it just don't go for him, does it? And he's a top manager, Chris. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he's been, he's done. But then people have got an opinion of him. He don't know what he's doing because he's at Forest. They don't win a game. You know, there's a couple, isn't there? But.
Mm. In the same way as, like, you get... There seems to be a conveyor of managers that do really well and then drop off face to earth. Like your Phil Browns and your...
Your
Owen Coyle, you know, that gets at Premier League and being touted for big jobs and then all of a sudden...
They probably get another two jobs, don't they?
Yeah, and then just disappear.
And then it doesn't work.
I think the game is changing now, though, isn't it? I think it is. It's changing, isn't it? Laptops and media, and you got to be a whiz kid, haven't you?
Mm.
You know, we used to do a warm up for 40 minutes and then go out, and first fucking five touches, he kicks it out of fucking play. And I'm thinking, and I've turned around and I'm saying, what the fuck did you do in that warm up?
It is, isn't it? I mean, people tech, like, there's too many jobs. At a football, especially the higher you go, there's too many people with jobs who need to get their little bit of the job done. The strength and conditioning coach, pre-warm-up coach, then you've got your warm-up. And by the time you start training, you've done fucking hour and 15 minutes.
You know what they do now, don't you? They watch a video of who they play against in the dressing room before the game. Personal. You know, you get it on your iPad or whatever. So if I'm playing against you, I'm watching John Parkin like that. I should know what you're good at already, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
I know what your strengths and weaknesses are.
Mm.
So you know,
if I was playing against you, Parky, I'd just run at you all day.
And I'd run you the other way.
I won't get you physical with you. No, do you know what I mean, though? Yeah. It's like, that's it. It's too much overload, I think.
So if you went into a club tomorrow and let's just say somewhere in League One off you and you've got to get that team together. So do you then have to get a team in of, like you said, your strength and conditioners?
No, that is part and parcel now. You have to have them. I'm being a bit sarcastic in what I'm saying. You got to have them in and around you now. Yeah, they're just part and parcel.
But do you have your team that you take with you, or is that
me an assistant manager?
Yeah, you're assistant manager, but usually the club would have them. I mean, it's not the lad who's doing the analysis whose fault that we're losing, is it?
Yeah,
he's just doing his job, isn't he?
And is that really provided by the club, or is that? This is just a basics question. Does the club provide?
Some are better, and some have got good names, aren't they? Some are good. It's just what's right and wrong. I don't know. If you're winning games, you know what you're doing. You're great at your job, and if you're losing games, you're fucking Scooby Doo, have you?
It is funny though.
It is. So people try and judge you. They tell you can't do this, you can't do that, and that's just the way it is.
So right, no wrong.
If the sub's been made and somebody's man has come off, this all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What the fuck? Who have I got?
Yeah.
And then it's like just sort out
yourself. If you're winning 1-0, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes, say. Then you put a sub on, you end up drawing one up. Why are you changing it? Yeah. Or then the opposite. Why didn't you put a sub on?
Yeah.
You can wait the other way, can't
you? If you didn't put the sub on and then you're quite well, you should have freshened it up a bit.
No matter how many's in the crowd, so say there's 5,000 in the crowd, there's 5,000 managers, isn't there? Mm. All with their own opinion of what they'd do.
But
you know what
the job's about, so it's, like I say, it can be very rewarding, very, very enjoyable job when things are going right. So,
you ever lost your head with any fans?
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, man, refs.
Lost fucking fans, Jesus Christ.
Apart from at Scarborough.
Scarborough, no. I try and hold it in as much as I can, so.
The thing is, that's not really your personality, is it?
No. I just turn around and say, fuck off, going in. I'm quite sarcastic in a way. I'm never abusive or anything. I'll just say something quite quick if I can, or might even get a few laughs by the people who are sat next to me. But I was at Chesterfield once and we're top of the league, I'll never forget Mark Allett and Danny Whittaker. Danny Whittaker scored 14 goals from midfield this season. Mark Allett's my captain. We're top of the league. We're playing, who are we playing? I think it was Torquay. I can remember the night. It's a Tuesday night. Oh, no, I'll tell you who it was. It was Oxford. Chris Wilder was manager. Oxford it was when Tufty was at. So I'm sat here and Chris, the opposition, are in the dugout there. So watching the game and we're not playing well. So anyway, watching the game and we're not playing that well and I can hear this fucking dickhead behind the dugout. Yeah? Right? Same bloke at nearly every week, you know what I mean? But I catch his eye, don't I? So I'd look at him and, he's shouting at Mark Allett, my captain, and Danny Whittaker, who's, 14 goals probably that season. So I turn around and I see him shouting. And I look at him, fucking dick. So he carries on, didn't he? So I've walked over to the dugout, right, joined the game, keep shouting at them both. And I went up two steps and I went to him, why don't you just fuck off home and watch EastEnders, you prick? Right? And a couple of people started applauding me around the, Tufty's like that, what's going on there?
And he walked past his bench.
And then I walked back. Well, the game's going on, yeah. But at Chesterfield, we got won the league, yeah. We played, I got a letter off this fan. We won the league. We played Bury, who were going for promotion as well. But we'd all got promoted. And if we beat Bury at home, it's only three games to go. If we beat Bury, we win the league at home. And we've already been promoted, by the way, the week before we got promoted. Right, so we're playing Bury. Anyway, and Bury were a decent team. They were going for promotion as well. They beat us 3-2, so we didn't get the championship on that day. I got a letter on the Monday off a supporter. We've just got promoted the week before. You've let us down. You and the players have let us down. And we've still got two games to go to win. I showed it to the chairman. I said, have you seen that? You and the players have let us down.
Did you write back?
No, fucking hell.
Obviously, you must have got a result to win the league.
Yeah, we beat Gillingham at home, following week. Won the league.
Did you not write back?
Nah,
did he not send a letter saying congratulations?
No, but can you honestly believe that someone would think and send that?
Unwritten.
Handwritten, eh?
It must have just... I think I'd have pissed me,
I started laughing. I told the chairman, I thought, oh, my God, what chance are you...
What what chance have I got here?
Oh, I've had a few worse than that. Don't worry about it. Beard all day. No, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, am I? But
by the way, 34 caps for Ireland as well.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Spoke about.
Yeah, in Ireland. Yeah, I love playing for it. I probably would have got more. Only, I mean, the style of play we played, and which was very successful, in the players we had. And again, I mean, I did miss a lot of trips with Ireland through injury, so I possibly would have got a few more caps. But brilliant, brilliant days. Very lucky to be involved in the team in around Euros 88.
It's two World Cups.
World Cup 90, 94. God, it was some with Jack, obviously, Jack Charlton, manager.
How was he?
Brilliant. Hard as nails. Again, another one, hard as nails. If you got the wrong side, I'd hate to get the wrong side of him. But hard as nails, fair. But it's a bit different, you know, because you're going with your country, aren't you? So you had good established players, you know, Liverpool players, Arsenal players.
They had some players, didn't they?
Not half. Man United players. You know, your Ronnie Whelans and your Ray Outen was a top player, top lad. They're all great lads as well. No egos, not one of them, not an ego. It's just like a good club, really good club side, you know what I mean? But they're all international players. Well, he went Euros 88. I didn't play. I was on the bench every game. Italy, I got on last 20 minutes in the quarter final. And then I played every game in America. But you always felt part of the group, do you know what I mean? It wouldn't matter who was playing. You were just like... And the lads loved a night out, you know.
So
what I
was about to say, what were the social
Jack,
like?
Social was brilliant. Jack, he knew as well. He'd let you out at the right time. The lads wouldn't take the piss either. But if he allowed you out, you went out. I mean, it was brilliant. He'd take you out for days out, and like, you know, to the races, and then we'd be on the way home after we'd been there all day on the piss. And the coach would pick us up. You'd only have to sing a song to him and he'd stop at the next pub. Oh, Jackie, we're all at the back singing, Jackie, we love you. Oh, Jackie. Right, come on. Stop at the pub. Oh, as long as he weren't paying, he weren't bothered. But no, he was, listen, had, again, top players. A lot of them gone on to become managers. And like, when I first got in there, O'Leary and Frank Stapleton and people like that, and Kevin Moore, and top players and good lads. When you're a young player, you just look up to them.
Did anybody ever take it too far with the social, with the Ireland?
Well, obviously, Big Paul's probably a name you'll... probably the best player. Yeah, probably the best player I've played with Paul. And again, you know his injuries, don't you, and his knees and all that. But as a player, he's another one who didn't train much. But when he played, he was always the best player on the pitch. But like... I mean, we'd turn up for games in Dublin. If it was in Dublin, we'd play there. You turn up on a Friday night and no one very rarely pulled out of the squad because you know what you were going. I always say you're going on a good stag do with a load of good footballers. That's what I used to say. I always said that. You turn on a Friday, you're out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you train and get ready for the game. And usually they'd win the game on the Wednesday, but there was one game, Turkey. I never forget the game because it was live on BBC Two. We're playing Turkey in a Euro qualifier. And in them days, Turkey weren't like
they are now.
Yeah, no. But I know a lot of lads pulled out of injury. I remember the trip, the game. We're playing them in Dublin and we turn up for the squad and it's only a small squad. Anyway, what you used to do, like I've just said, you turn up Friday. Usually Jack didn't see you till Sunday night or Monday morning. But you're reporting, you know, so because you're out. So anyway, we turn up for this game, Turkey in Dublin we're playing, so we turn up anyway, we're all there, and we get there Sunday night, Monday morning, when we all more or less on the football pitch. Anyway, there's no way Paul's in the squad but hasn't turned up.
So has he actually reported to start with, or has he just not turned up at all?
He's in Ireland, but he hasn't reported to the hotel on the Friday, the airport hotel where we used to stay. But he's supposed to, and people know he's in Ireland, or they thought he was in Ireland. Anyway, they find out he's only gone missing, hasn't he? He's gone missing, no one can find him, but the physio, Mick Byrne, Jack's kept, and he was brilliant at this, Jack, he kept it from the press. So everyone just assumed Paul's having a rest, do you know what I mean? So anyway, we need to find Paul where he is. Jack's got to find him as quick as he can. Anyway, they find out he's gone into Dublin. I can't remember Paul, he was playing for Villa at the time, I think. He's only... reported he's met this bird and two other lads and he's gone out to Greece somewhere, flew out to Greece and gone missing. So we find out, Mick, who knows everyone, has found out this. Somehow he has got in contact with Paul and got Paul back to Dublin. for the Monday. Yeah.
Monday, she's gone to Greece for the weekend.
Yeah, instead of reporting. He's on the piss, isn't he? He's not bothered, really. So he gets back for the game because we need to win the game. We need to win the game because he's only a small squad, I remember. So he gets him back somehow for Tuesday. Keeps it all quiet. No one knows where he's gone. Only the squad and the lads knew where he's been. Keeps him quiet, keeps in his room, and he's down to play for the game. He's put him in the team. Because Paul was like that. He could play Paul. Like I say, Turkey weren't Turkey, if you know what I mean. We're expected to win the game. We, I mean, we won the game 5-0 in the end. So anyway, when we used to go to the games, we'd get on the coach, airport hotel, straight through middle of Dublin to the ground, Lansdowne. So we get to Lansdowne. And when you used to get to Lansdowne, Paul used to always sit at the back of the bus, right at the back in the corner. You get to Lansdowne. You have to get out of the bus, walk 200 yards through the bit of the canal under the tunnel into the changing room. So we get in the changing room anyway. We get in the changing room. Next thing, we're looking around. No one's even, no sign of Paul, is there? He's only got off the fucking bus, hasn't he? He's not in no frame to play the game.
Could you see by looking at him what kind of nick he was in?
Yeah,
did
you just
look?
You could, yeah, yeah.
Just wasn't there.
Well, if you see the story now, you get one or two things. But how Jack spoke to him and what the things he said to him, but this is what happened. He don't get off the bus. So we're all in the changing room. He's gone, Paul. So anyway, he just, again, Jack keeps it quiet. Press don't even know. We go out and play the game. Long story cut, long story short. Go out, score. Aldridge gets, actually, we won 5-0, not a problem. Gets back to the hotel. He's kept it quiet. I don't, how he kept it from the press, I'll never know. But he's...
So has McGrath just got off the...
He's no frame of mind, yeah.
Shout left off the buzzer.
Yeah, without telling anyone, yeah. And he's back at the hotel when he get back to... the hotel, and Jack tells you the story. When he gets back to the hotel, Jack actually says to Paul, I didn't realise how bad you was. Do you know what I mean? But he kept it from the press.
That's mad, isn't it?
But the funny story about it, the funny side of it is, we didn't have enough players, so Bernie Slavin's like the one left out. You know, when you name your squad. And you used to get shirts, you know, like a shirt, two shirts each. You always had one because people use them for charity. So Bernie's not involved in the game, so he gets his shirt signed, doesn't he? By all the players, you know, on the way to the game. Anyway, Bernie's only got to go on the bench, hasn't he?
What with the sash?
Yeah, he's on the fucking bench with his shirt signed. He's one of the subs.
Oh, just a shirt full of signatures.
Yeah. Puts him on the bench, Jack.
Did he
Jack
come on?
No, Jack says, Bernie, you're on the bench. Say, I haven't brought any gear, Jack. So he lends his pair of boots off fucking someone. Puts him on the bench.
International football.
Like I say, luckily we're up to 5-0 again, but yeah. No, oh God, we had some cracking trips with Ireland. Great days, then. Good lads as well, though.
So
good lads and good players.
At this point, is this when Paul McGrath like got help, or did he just carry on how he were?
Well, he needed to get help. Paul was one of them, and Paul even tell you, and like I say, I'm not saying anything out of turn. When he has a bevy, Paul, he likes to go on a bevy, if you know what I mean. He goes 2 and 3 days, that's his problem. Paul admits to that. So... But I always just, I mean, that's just a story that he was always every other game, that Italy game, you know, when you're playing the World Cup against Baggio and all that, Paul, he's got dodgy knees and he's like, he's an unbelievable player. Unbelievable lad as well. Unbelievable lad. But playing wise, he never trained and just played. No matter where he played, midfield, sometimes he played midfield.
You can't actually believe that he knows he's got to turn up for international duty and he just thought, fuck it, I'm going to Greece for a drink. Yeah.
The audacity not to tell anybody.
Yeah. Just like, well, I'm off. Fuck it.
Jump on played. Went for a mythos. See you later.
Yeah, you know, like when you, like, if you've got in bother over your career and you're thinking, oh, the manager's going to be fucked. You just not got no.
Yeah, but sometimes if you get in that frame of mind, you think, ah, fuck it, I can't be asked. Just can't be asked. And he probably did get in that frame of mind, didn't he? Because he was probably in a worse way than what you thought.
Just, I'm about Jack. I'm not coming. You know what I mean? At least a text message to physio.
When he's rung him to see where Paul is and you're getting that ringtone.
The foreign one. Oh, fucking hell.
We would never have got him, only Mick Byrne, the physio, who knows everyone in Dublin. He's the one who found
him. You're ringing him, oh, fuck and me, then, he's not in Gibney's.
Then you have to, Mick had to stand outside Paul's door when he got him back because Paul had just go back out. That's always always a threat when he was in his worst state, Paul, yeah.
He could just disappear.
It just, but we never seen him. I never seen him like that much, if you know what I mean. I just, dead quiet, placid, brilliant, brilliant footballer.
Out of all the players you've played with, which one would you want to take the trenches with you?
Trenches? Probably Paul, but Paul's quiet. He doesn't give it. Obviously,
he could disappear at any time. As well.
I think he'd be my last, to be honest.
Paul, watch what the back was again.
Might get
trouble kicking up, Paul.
Might get locked up for deserting, mate. But we'll let him off because it's Paul. Listen, I only played with Roy, but I played with Roy, didn't it? Roy Keenan. Listen, we know his career he's had in, like, top player. And he was a young lad, younger than us when he first got in the team. So people like that, innit? Batty, again, he was another one, innit? Young player when
played
I first got
in. Haven't you?
Pardon?
He's played with a lot of characters like that.
Yeah.
Five-a-side tournament, playing for another week in Malta.
Yeah.
Who you having in team?
Wadley. I don't know if Paul can... What, is it indoor or outdoor?
Moss side. Paul,
yeah, is no, it on Moss side?
Moss side.
Oh, Paul would be all right then. I've got to put our kid in, Anna. Daz, five-a-side.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's not a big pitch, five-a-side, is it?
Nah,
I'll probably play
right.
myself as well. Parky's not that big, is it? Parky up front.
I can't let you pick me from the fucking Hursty.
Man, the goals aren't that, but you can play next, can't you?
Just lie on my side.
Now, a difficult question. You know, you play with so many players, don't you?
Enjoyed that.
Have there been any regrets?
You know what? I think I would have liked to have done. If my knees would have been all right, I would like to have played abroad or took a chance playing abroad. Just because of the way I played or my game, what my game was.
America abroad or
no
Italy,
Spain,
right?
Italy. Somewhere like Spain, not Italy, Spain.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a chance when Real Sociedad, Daly went there, Kevin Richardson went there. I remember Ron Atkinson was there. There was sort of a little bit of, well, in the papers, only paper talk really, but no, I would like to have took a little chance.
No, cheers, mate.
Yeah, top man. Thanks for coming on,
no,
mate.
It's all right.
Top man.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.